Hi, this is Kimmy Culp. I'm the host of All the Wiser. You may know that if you're listening. And Erica, my producer, is here with me today. Hey, Erica.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. Here we are again on A Little Wiser. Today we are going to talk about something. And to be honest, I had no idea, and we've been working together for 2 years now, what a role this has played in your life currently. So we're going to focus on the language of transness. And this is rooted in the interview we did last week with Skylar Baylar, who, if you haven't listened, was accepted to the Harvard women's swimming team as a female. The women's swimming team, and before starting college, transitioned to a man and was the first NCAA transgender athlete to compete. So he really made history, and the fact that the women's coach and men's coach worked together and he earned the spot on that team was pretty remarkable. But a lot of stuff came up around language, including me. I have to call myself out because it's still a learning curve. And I think that this is something that a lot of people are confused about, and a lot of people are even afraid to talk about it because they don't want to say the wrong thing or they don't want to offend somebody or come off as, you know, clueless. So we're going to talk about transgender language and, you know, what we know and what we have to learn. But Erica, this is something that you have learned a lot about, not preparing for interviews, but in your life and your family. So will you share with the audience what you shared with me?
Sure. It's such a weird thing to talk. I haven't talked about this before. So, I did call my stepson. I have a stepson and his name is Chris. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Chris.
And Chris is a trans male and he's 24 years old. And he lives in Miami, Florida. And I officially became his stepmom a few months ago when I got married, as you know. And Chris has now been in my life for many years. And I love him so dearly. He is such a bright spot in my life. And when we did this episode with Skylar, you know, it brought up some questions for me that I had never really talked about with Chris before. Chris and I don't talk about his transness. He's just my stepson and he's just Chris. But you had said something in the interview with Skylar that really kind of planted a seed in my mind. Like, I need to talk to Chris about this. And what you said, you probably don't remember this, but you said something about Skylar's past and referring to, I think you referred to his girlhood or him as a girl. And he corrected you and he said, you know, I was never a girl. And he explained why that language was incorrect and in referring to his past. And I felt for you in that moment because I have made similar statements.
I was going to say, you're like, you probably don't remember this. I remember it well because I felt like an unprepared asshole.
Well, and that's the thing is like, that's, I didn't want you to feel that way. I know that you did feel that way, and I have felt that way, but I didn't want you to feel that way. And you said to Skylar, there is an education to be had. I wrote this down. You said, there's an education to be had, but also not on the burden of you or on the shoulders of you. Do you remember saying that?
I do remember saying that, yeah.
But it begged the question, who should the burden fall upon?
Yeah, and I think it's, you know, I talked with Graham after I did the interview, and I was just kind of like so moved by his story and his courage and everything, and he's just so great at sharing it and educating, but I felt a little deflated. like, man, I kind of messed up, or I didn't show up as prepared as I should. I should really get language and, you know, do the research as somebody, you know, who's a trained journalist. And he was like, you got to give yourself some grace. Like, there's a learning curve, right? This is new language. And like, you're at least, you know, or not you're at least, but you're open to the conversation, you're open to learning, and you're open to sharing on your platform. So I did, in hindsight, being like, it is a question, because I don't know. I mean, you learn so much more from intimate conversations versus a Google search. Like, you're just going to inherently take the information in a completely different way. So while you don't want to necessarily put somebody in the position where every time they're at a dinner party, they need to give somebody a vocabulary lesson, but I do think for people like Skylar, who are willing to be the educators, if you will, that seems to be like the source of the best information. So I don't know that I have an answer to that. All I know is I did feel bad. I felt insecure. And I said that, but it also, I think, is more complicated than I really need to figure this out in my own silo. That makes sense.
Oh, of course. Yeah, it makes perfect sense. And I'm glad, first of all, that was the perfect thing for Graham to have said to you. And we're all making mistakes when it comes to the language around transhood and transness. It's new language. It's not, and it's still being created as we speak. All of these things are happening right now. So we are all figuring it out. We're figuring it out together. I think the important thing is when the correction is pointed out to us, that we take the correction and we move forward.
Yeah.
You know, we don't get hung up on the correction. We don't argue with the correction. We don't get irritated or annoyed with the correction, but we just take the correction and we move forward.
Yeah. And it has, you know, I think it has a lot of parallels with conversation and dialogue, you know, that came up over the summer with Black Lives Matter and the episode we did with my friend Paris. Because even on that episode, we talked about white people are freaking confused about Black versus African American, and they're afraid to even say it because they don't want to mess it up and look like they're ignorant. And she was really like, had a wonderful answer to that that was very straightforward. But I think is, you know, in culture, as you know, obviously it's vastly different when we're talking about LGBTQ. But I think one of the parallels is some of the specificity around language, because I know that was kind of a thing that has come up in the past, is you want to talk about things and feel informed and educated and open. And sometimes you're a little bit frozen in your own fear because you're not confident in your language.
Yeah. And when I talked to Chris about that, and I asked him, like, do you mind if people ask you questions? And he said, you know, if it's my friends and family, absolutely, I don't mind at all. I'm more than happy to talk about it. You know, I even reached out to him. I said, hey, can we talk about trans education? And he was like, sure, I'd love to. But what he does mind is random strangers coming up to him and saying, you know, are you a boy, or what are you, or have you had the surgery, or have you, you know, all kinds of things and all kinds of questions. And of course, you don't want, it's a sensitive thing to have a stranger approach you about. He thinks that the media has a very big part to play in this, that he thinks that the media could do a much better job of educating about language and about transness, and we just aren't there yet. And I agree. I mean, the media is not perfect, but representation matters. We know that.
Yeah.
And the more we talk about it, the more we see it on TV, the more we see trans characters interacting with each other and interacting with their families, the more we will pick up on that language piece.
Yeah. It makes a huge difference. But I do think, like, we're still evolving. We're still, this is still a road ahead of us. And we kind of, for good or bad, are all at different points and have to meet each other where we are and give everybody grace, because change takes time and education takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. So I do think it's not going to be, next year everybody's going to get it and get the language and be on board, and we're going to see reflections and positive role models in the media, as much as that would be amazing. So I think it's going to require a lot of talking and education and honest conversations and positive portrayals, and it's going to be a while.
Yeah, it will be, and we need to lead, as always, with compassion and, you know, care and love, and just with the knowing that we are all the same. We are all the same. We all, you know, are imperfect people, and we're just people, and we'll get there.
It is crazy how, like, human beings, right? We're all, like, we all suffer, we all love, we all cry, we all poop, like, you know what I mean? All of it.
I don't poop. I don't know. Oh. I don't know.
But people are like, you're black, you're white, you live in this neighborhood, I live in this neighborhood, you like boys, I like girls. Like, the way in which we separate ourselves, when in fact the connective tissue is so much more, it's like, it's just crazy.
Yeah, it is. Skylar, I loved Skylar. I loved this interview so much. He was so wise, articulate, and able to use language that painted such a clear picture for me, not only about his experience, but how he made his decisions and why he made his decisions. What were some of your favorite moments in the interview?
You know, I think he's wise beyond his years, and he's obviously almost lived many lifetimes in his, you know, he's in his 20s. But the fact that he got that, and I have said this is a lesson that I still have room for growth, is that he had achieved, right? He had done everything. You know, he was one of the, you know, top female swimmers in the country. He had gotten into Harvard. He had incredible grades. He, you know, and he wasn't happy. And he wasn't, mm-hmm. you know, because he wasn't true to who he was, and he was performing for the outside world and molding to who he thought he should be. And when he did this really, really hard thing to do, I would say, because the risk, right, is huge. Does your family walk away? Do your friends walk away? Does your Harvard scholarship? So to make that bold choice, but then also, you know, I was asking him about kind of, well, what's your hope in your future? And he said, like, I don't even play that game anymore. Like, all I have is now, and setting up all of these, you know, goals, and with the assumption that when I get there, I'll be happy. And, like, that's a very evolved way of thinking, because we all think, right, the next thing, like, oh, when I get into the college, or when I get married, or, you know, when I achieve this, or when I have a million Instagram followers, and none of it's all an empty pursuit, right? So I think that stuck out to me. And then the story about telling his 83-year-old Korean Catholic grandmother, and her, like, beautiful, quick, you can be a boy, you can be a man, I get you, but the Korean tradition is that daughters take care of their parents. Your mom no longer has a daughter. I need you to honor that commitment. And the fact that he tattooed her words, like, on his trans-affirming scar, which is the mastectomy, like, I just thought that was cool, and she was cool. And that was, like, yet another thing. Like, that's a pretty brave act to potentially be disowned by your family, and to have that outcome, you know, was another great example of hard conversations, and that people, you know, you should have greater faith in people's love for you.
Yeah. I mean, that was such a gorgeous moment, and he does acknowledge how lucky he was to have such a supportive family, both his parents were supportive. Obviously, his grandmother, that was a question mark, and she ended up being supportive. And the way that he explained how vital it is that one parent is supportive, you know, and that I think he said that it reduces the odds for suicide by like 50% or something like that. If you just
the amount of these suicides with kids, it's just like super like
heartbreaking.
Because literally, I'm sure that, you know, people say like, I don't belong in the world. Like, clearly, I don't fit in anywhere. My family, you know, so it's just it really is heartbreaking. And I also thought, you know, I watched his interview with Leslie Stahl on 60 Minutes. And, you know, she's kind of said, what's the one question, or which is a pretty common question to ask someone, because then you figure out what the biggest intrigue around them and their story is. And he said kind of like the what's in your pants question, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, she said, so what's in your pants? And when he, and I was honest that I've always been curious about that, right? Because you're like, how does a vagina go to a penis? How did, like, you're just, people are trying to wrap their heads around it. And then when he said, like, in what other scenario do you, like, ask somebody about, you know, their genitalia at, like, a coffee date?
Right. Right.
So did you get vagina tightening surgery after the birth of your children? Or like, I don't know what it would be, but I'm like, oh my gosh, the fact that we all think we can like go there just because, you know, like it's there. It's why they call them private parts, people.
Yeah. I mean, it is so odd that you just immediately, that's the first thing that people want to know.
But I think it's because we identify our genders, right? Like women have a vagina, men have, you know, like you're taught that from a little kid.
Yeah, you are taught that as a little kid. And I think that is one of the biggest lessons that I have had, you know, that it's a journey. Like gender is a journey, and you don't need to, your external parts do not have to be a direct reflection of who you are inside and what you feel inside. You know, some people get top surgery, some people don't. Some people never get any gender reassignment surgery. So I think we just have to keep educating people about this, about the fact that the sign of a man is not whether or not he has a penis. It's just not. And get comfortable with that notion, because it's not going to, it's here. It's here to stay.
Yeah. Well, I feel like our very talented sound engineer, Kelly Kramer, like every 3 months, she's like, it was the best episode yet. It was my favorite. And I'm like, we go. But she's serious this time.
Yes, she is serious. She talked my ear off about obsessed. It. She was obsessed. Yes.
Yeah, she was like, oh, do we do a promo? Do we? So Kelly spends her days and nights listening to interviews as a sound engineer. And she loved the conversation. If you haven't listened, I hope you will too. And it's the episode in your feed before this. So big thanks to Skylar. And Google Trevor Project and check out their work if you haven't yet. Skylar's episode supported the good work of the Trevor Project. And Erica, anything else?
Well, you know, if you did enjoy what you heard on the episode, either this last episode or maybe even this one, would you write us a review? We would really, really appreciate any feedback you have to provide about the show, about your experience of the show. It is the way that people find us and listen to us. They read your reviews and they want to know what you think about this show. So, you know, if you could take 2 minutes out of your day, maybe even right now, we would love to hear from you.
Unless you want to say the host is an unprepared asshole.
And the producer doesn't poop.
Okay. If you want to write a kind review, and if not, you know, just send us a private email that no one else needs to read.
Yes.
No, what Erica is saying in all truth, they do go a long way. When other people are considering whether to make time for the show, that makes all the difference. And you guys have been so amazing and supportive and loyal and rooting us on. And it means the world to us when you do. So we hope you will continue to share.
All right. Have a great week, everyone. And we will be back again next week with another. Oh, it's going to be a good one. You don't want to miss
it. I'm obsessed.
It's going to be so good. And that's all we're going to say.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.